Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, please be with us as we look at your word and what your servant Paul had to teach. We ask that our hearts and minds would be open to understand you more, and that we may grow as a congregation in our faith. We pray all this in your name. Amen. So Paul compares the human body to being like a tent. And as a tent maker, he'd probably know quite a lot about them. And when I think about tents, I'm reminded of a time when I was about 8 and my family and I went camping out at Coles Bay. We'd spent a couple of nights there already and we'd been having quite a fun time. The tent we had was a huge two-room tent, big enough that you could put bunk beds and an inflatable double mattress on the other side, just to give you an idea of the size of this tent. So we'd been having a fun couple of days, having a nice family time in our awesome tent. However, a few days in, it began to rain. And this was fine. We just went inside and started playing some board games, and it was all good. However, the rain started to get a little heavier. So we collected the things off the ground so that they wouldn't get wet, but everything was all right still, and we could stay there. However, eventually the rain began bucketing down and the ground turned to mud. And we were getting quite cold and, needless to say, we weren't having much fun anymore. Our fantastic tent showed that when it came to the crunch, it wasn't so fantastic anymore. So what happened then was Dad went to the office of the caravan park and booked a cabin on the grounds that overlooked the tent. So we grabbed some gear and we moved into the cabin, where we all sighed a relief, glad to be warm and dry. And I can remember the all-round feeling of love for this cabin, the adoration for how much better it was than staying in the tent. We were glad to leave the tent and enter into this building. So Paul in 2 Corinthians is using this example of a tent and a building to explain what it means for us to desire our new heavenly bodies, to desire to be with God. Well, what does that mean? That all sounds very confusing. What is Paul talking about? What does he mean when he says about having new bodies and old bodies and tents and buildings and not wanting to be found naked and clothed with a heavenly dwelling? What's he talking about? Well, what Paul is doing here is he's using this example of tents and buildings to represent what it is and what it will be like with our bodies, what it is like for us as physical beings. So let's have a look at what Paul is teaching us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So today we're going to be looking at two points: life in the old body and life in the new body. Life in the old body and life in the new body. So let's have a look at that first point, our old bodies, or our current bodies, the bodies we have. So Paul describes the bodies we have now as being like an earthly tent. An earthly tent. Well, why does he do that? Why a tent? Why are our bodies like a tent? Well, the reason he does this, why he chooses this illustration, is because a tent is something which is not permanent. Tent is not permanent. Tents, as you probably know, they don't last forever. Tents fall over with only a gust of wind. They get tears and holes in them from the tent poles. The material gets thin over time and the whole tent collapses and the tent gets destroyed. The tent gets destroyed because it's not permanent. And this is what our bodies are like. Our bodies are like that earthly tent, that they are not permanent. And, well, we can see this, can't we? Our hair starts to turn grey, the waistline starts to increase, our sprint starts to get a bit slower, and our bones become brittle. We have to start wearing glasses and hearing aids, and our minds and wits start to get a little bit slower, and our hearts start to struggle, and eventually they give up. Our body stops working and dies. Like the tent, it is destroyed because it is not permanent. It doesn't last forever. And this can often, in fact, be quite a scary thing to think about. Many of you might find it quite offensive that I'm talking about death, but it's actually quite shocking and offensive. Because really, death is quite offensive to us, isn't it? Death is something we don't like to talk about. We don't like the idea that our bodies aren't going to hold out forever, that we aren't always going to remain at our physical peak. People are constantly seeking for an answer to this problem. Medicine keeps on searching for ways to increase the lifespan. Authors write novels about the search for eternal life or the spring of youth. More and more people will try anti-aging pills, Botox their face, try out all kinds of out-there diets, all for the sake of preventing death and old age. For thousands of years, the problem of death has been fought against in some way. The fight for somehow to stay alive and be physically untainted. We groan. Humanity groans and is burdened by these bodies that we have that which don't last. Bodies that don't last and perish and are destroyed. So this groan, this anguish and frustration is exactly what Paul is talking about. This is what he's talking about when he compares our bodies to being like tents. We don't really want these bodies, do we? We don't want these bodies which wear out and are destroyed. I mean, really, who wants that? Who really honestly wants that? But that's not all. Paul goes on to explain why you really would not want to be in these bodies. Why you should, in fact, long to rid yourself of this body, this destructible physical form. And it's not just because, you know, you're going to turn grey and you'll start having to wear glasses. It's because while you're in this body, you are separated from God. You're separated from Him. While you're in this body, you don't see God and you don't, you know, interact with God. That's why we want to leave these bodies, so that we can be in the physical, visible and almighty presence of the Lord and spend eternity with Him. Because at the moment, we live by faith. We live by faith. But the day will come when all those who have believed and had faith in God's Son will live in the presence of the God who made all things and see Him face to face forever. Who wants to live like that? Who wants to leave the body that they are in? I mean, do you? Do you guys really want to leave and be in the presence of God? So we can't stay in these bodies. We need new bodies, better bodies, bodies which will last. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen that film Bruce Almighty. You know, the film where Bruce, he's a man who complains against God and says that he's not doing a good enough job in the world and thinks he could do a better God. So God comes and says, visits him and says, I give you my powers and let's see how you do then for a week. One of the things that stands out for me in that film is just how amazing it is that Bruce can see God face to face, that he can sit down and have a chat with God, this relationship that he has with God, that he can sit down and laugh and have a joke and talk through his troubles face to face with God. So though we live by faith now, forgiven, reconciled, and with the gift of the Holy Spirit, this is the future which we look forward to with God, but not in these bodies. And it's not that Christians are, that we're anti-bodies, that we think the body is something which is dirty and horrible and to be ashamed of. It's that just that we're honest about our bodies. You know, we're honest about them, that they're not going to last forever. So maybe the next time your body shows signs of aging or wearing down, instead of being angry at your body and getting annoyed, thank God maybe that you're on your way to seeing Him face to face. So we can't stay in these bodies. We need new bodies. So that brings me to my second point, the new bodies. So Paul has explained how the current bodies are like a tent, that they are destructible. And now he describes the new body as a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. Now, let's not think of this as maybe your average house in Hobart made of maybe red brick or weatherboards. But instead, let's think of it as a building from God as something like one of those medieval buildings in Europe that exists all over Europe, which we can still visit today. So when Sarah and I were living in France, we got the chance to see many of the old cathedrals and churches and fortresses that have been built. And one of the ones that we saw was William the Conqueror's castle in Normandy, which was probably built around 1060. So that building is still there today. So about, 1,000 years ago, it's still there today, standing tall over the city, a building built strong, with strong material. It is a building built to stand forever and not perish. And that is what the new bodies will be like. Strong and permanent and beautiful. The sort of description Paul is giving here is very reminiscent of the construction of the temple in Jerusalem. Now, the Hebrews, led by Moses, carried a large tent called the tabernacle around with them for 40 years in the desert, and after that as a place of worship in the Holy Land, until Solomon finally built the temple. And they moved from worshipping in a tent into a building. God's people had changed from worshipping in a scrappy old tent to a glorious building. And our bodies are like that too, changing from the scrappy, destructible to the glorious, permanent. So this is how Paul explains to his readers what the new body at the resurrection will be like. Now we must be clear about who Paul is talking to here in 2 Corinthians when he is speaking about this new body. So this heavenly dwelling given by God is not for everyone. It's not for everyone. These new bodies are for those who live to please God, for those who have chosen to turn away from their sin and turn to Jesus. Paul writes, "Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." What does this mean? What does it mean that God has fashioned us for this purpose? What does it mean that it's... Well, God has made it the desire of everyone who turns to him to long for the new body, to leave the old body and be born in the new. And Paul makes clear that you don't want to be unclothed, as he put it, without a body. So you aren't going to become like a ghost or spirits without a body. That's not how the Bible describes it when we enter in the new life. It's not like Ghostbusters or Patrick Swayze in the film Ghost, where you just sort of float around. It's not like that. Instead, Paul explains that you will have new life, eternal life with God in our new bodies. Well, how can you be sure of this? You can be sure because God has given you a deposit, as Paul describes it, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit, he is God's deposit. God's giving proof of the deal that you have eternal life, because that life will already be in those who have believed and received the Spirit. Paul is so excited when he writes these words. He is so excited at the prospect of leaving the earthly body, leaving the earthly tent, and entering into the new world with God in the heavenly body, in the heavenly building. And, well, the concept of leaving your body is so confusing to the rest of the world, isn't it? The desire to leave your current flesh and bones, the desire to die. It is a concept for those who do not believe in the power of God. It's so bizarre. It's so perverse. It's so foolish. Because the rest of the world says that this life is it. The years that you have on earth are it. So you'd better make sure that they're good and you'd better make sure that they last as long as possible. Because this is it. That's what the world says. The world says that once you die, that's your bow on stage. Everything you have or were is gone. So why would you want to die? That's what the world asks you. Why would you want to die? But this isn't the case for those who believe. For those who believe in new eternal life, for those who have admitted that they need Jesus and have called on him to save them from their sins and death, they have the assurance of a new body and eternal life. For those who believe and have faith, have the assurance of no fear of death, no fear of what happens when their body is destroyed, but instead a joy and a longing to leave this world and spend eternity with God. So when my family and I had gone camping, the next morning the rain had stopped, we packed up the tent and went home, and not long later bought a caravan, which is a lot more comfortable and kept us a lot more dry and warm, I can assure you. So even though we enjoyed all those times we had in our tent, it was always nice to come home and be back in our warm and comfortable house. Now I want to ask you a question. When it is your time, when God's appointed time comes for you to leave this earth, what's going to be going through your head? What's going to be going through your head? Will you be looking back on life and regretting that you didn't do that bit more exercise and eat that little bit more healthy? Will you be angry and cursing your weak body for failing you, for not holding out until, you know, the cure for all illnesses had been discovered? Will you be terrified because everything that you have lived for, every second of your existence, everything that you have worked for and everything that you did will be gone in a few seconds? It'll be gone. Because you will be before the judgment seat. Is that what you'll be thinking? Is that what you're going to be worried about and feeling? Because I tell you, friends, you don't want to be thinking that. Instead, will you feel a great relief, great joy, great anticipation? Because you know that you are about to leave this world with all its sadness and evil, and you are about to receive your new body. Will you be excited because you are about to enter into eternity and see your Heavenly Father's face? That you are about to be forever with your Lord and God. I mean, we say this every week in the confession. We look for the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Is that really what you are looking forward to? Is that really what you're looking forward to? Now let me tell you that all this can be the joy and anticipation of everyone in this room, that this joy is offered to everyone who ever lived. You can have the hope of a heavenly building, a heavenly everlasting body. And to have this joy is simple. To turn to God, to confess that you need him, that you want him, and accept the generous kindness of Jesus. If you haven't asked God to enter your life and haven't accepted him as your Lord, I encourage you to do so today. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Because you don't know when your time will be. Accept Jesus today. Accept salvation today. Because God promises it to us all today. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you have saved us through your Son. Thank you that you have promised all those who have faith in your Son the anticipation and joy of a new body, and that we will be able to see you face to face. Please give us strength to live out your will and to tell others of your saving grace. Help us to live out our joy and show it in the world. Thank you that you are a God who loves his people and loves to bless them. We thank you and pray all this in your great name. Amen.